the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
All right, let's chop up what's going on with the Suns here in this offseason. Gerald Bourguet, of course, so good at Suns After Dark. He contributes to Sports 360 AZ on occasion. He is a busy man, busy father, gets it done with the Suns inside and out. Has this been a good offseason? Let's just start there. From your point of view, is this roster better today than it was when they walked off the floor after getting swept by OKC?
I think in some respects, but I think a lot of that is banking on continuity and hopefully some of the younger guys getting better. I like the Koa-Pete pick in the draft. I like moving up for him and getting a guy that they thought would be gone much earlier than pick number 30. But at the same time, he's a 19-year-old rookie and he still has to develop a jump shot. So I don't think there's a path for him to minutes this season, just like we saw with Rashear Fleming and Kamon Malawach. They're probably going to bring him along slowly. Then you couple that with the move that they made in trading for Miles Bridges. That's another obstacle to both Koa-Pete's minutes and Rashear Fleming's minutes at that four spot. And I just am not convinced that Bridges on the court is enough of a upgrade. I think they lost a lot of shooting with losing Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal. I think they got a lot of a redundant skill set in terms of a guy who is a good scorer with the ball in his hands, but kind of overlaps with Dylan Brooks and Jalen Green. There's not a whole lot of passing or shooting in that starting lineup now, and that's before you get to all the off-court stuff that I'm sure Suns fans are going to feel some type of way about.
Yeah, with Miles Bridges. I guess I'm wondering, Gerald, when you look at trying to get better, and I am hung up on the window of Devin Booker. That's just how I'm wired. He got here when he was 18. He's played in a couple of Olympics. The minutes, the regression of his shooting, it's as though that they're hoping that everything falls into place, like absolutely perfect to thread the needle to get past either OKC, San Antonio, teams in front of them outside of those two. Thoughts?
Yeah, I'm losing faith that the Suns are going to be able to get this done and win a title before Devin Booker's prime is over. And I think some people have already well past that stage. I mean, you've heard more trade Devin Booker talk than you ever have before, especially with that big contract extension that he signed recently. To win a title with Devin Booker as your best player, I still believe that is possible in the modern NBA, even with these teams that we've seen on the rise. But you have to build around him pretty flawlessly, and I think what we're seeing is not the type of team that you need to put around Devin Booker in terms of having defenders and shooters and guys who can put pressure on the rim. You know, a guy like Bridges obviously helps with that a little bit, but his rim rate has gone down. The three-point shooting for him, Dylan Brooks and Jalen Green has historically been pretty dicey, pretty up and down. So I just don't see the roster. I'm not sure I see the vision for what they're trying to assemble. I think at this point, you're hoping that you're able to somehow hit on a guy late in the draft with what limited capital you have and maybe give Booker a run later in his twilight years with somebody else being the main guy. But I don't really see what they're going to be able to put around Devin Booker with some of these players that they're bringing in unless they make significant moves with them.
Revisionist history, and we're talking with Gerald Bourguet, Suns After Dark, for a few minutes. He contributes to Sports 360 AZ as well, gets it on the Suns inside and out. Make sure you check out his content at Suns After Dark. If the Durant trade didn't go down, where would this franchise be today with the people that they jettisoned out of here?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, the Durant trade was an all-in move, and I think it's still a move that you make. Like, we know how it all worked out. It worked out horribly, and it's one of the worst trades, unfortunately, in Suns history, given what happened after the fact and all the draft capital you gave up. But at the same time, I think the Bradley Beal move was the one that really sunk you. I have a hard time believing that you could not build a winning team around Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. But that Bradley Beal acquisition is the one that really hurt you. I think running it back was something that a lot of Suns fans look back on, you know, the finals team and the 64-win team, and they missed those days. But I think the situation with DeAndre Ayton was kind of untenable, given where they were at, given the Nuggets series and what happened in that series. Given their two consecutive flameouts, losing by 30 plus at home in elimination games and back-to-back years, like you couldn't run that team back as it was and expect them to get over the hump. But I do think there's something to be said for what would this team have looked like if they had kept Mikal Bridges and kept Cam Johnson and turned Chris Paul into something else and maybe found a different starting center? Like, those are the questions that I think about, because I do think you look around the league and a lot of these teams that are contending for titles have had multiple years together, have had multiple playoff runs before they broke through. And the Suns are kind of this revolving door of shifting significant pieces year in and year out. It's hard to build a winning product that way.
You know, I call the decade of decline the Robert Sarver era. That's what I refer to it as. And we can always go back to it should have been Luka rather than DeAndre and all that stuff. I don't want to go too far back on it, but I guess what I'm wondering is present day, does this ownership group and management group look in the mirror and say, Phoenix is a pretty laid-back market. As long as we have a bunch of nice, embraceable guys and we finish somewhere in the playoffs every year, fans are going to be forgiving because this is just not a market where they're going to bring out the torches and the pitchforks to come after us. And I'd heard this at the end of the Steve Nash era, that there were meetings where there was big concern about, well, if we get rid of Steve, we're going to lose the lower bowl in our season ticket holders. That was their whole premise on keeping Steve. And Steve couldn't move. By his own admission, he couldn't move. So I've seen this, I think I've seen this movie before, and the boat still sinks at the end. Gerald, that's how I feel about it. Do you see it the same, or do you think, no, they actually, Brad, they're all in. They think they can put this thing together.
I think they are all in. I think that they are cognizant of the fact that after the last season they had, which was arguably the most disappointing team in franchise history, considering where expectations were, I think they understand that last year bought them a bit of goodwill, bought them a bit of time, and they know that they can't microwave this thing into a championship roster overnight. You know, a source that I spoke with said, like, yeah, we know that we're not going to make any big moves this summer to upset the chemistry. But we think we can build on last season, maybe be a top, you know, 4 or 5 seed in the West, win a playoff series. That's kind of where their bar is set at right now. And they're aware that they're not going to be contending for a title this upcoming season. So I think they're going about it realistically. I struggle with the vision that they have for how to get there. And I do think, you know, to your point about the pitchforks not really coming out in this town, I have to think that's part of the calculus of making a kind of tone-deaf move and trading for a player like Miles Bridges that is going to turn a significant portion of the fan base or feel a certain type of way about bringing him on board.
It seems, and I've written this and I've had fans get all over me about it, that the end game here for Devin Booker is becoming a sixth man. It's like they're not going to get a championship here in the next couple of years. And there's probably going to come a pivot point where it's, let's just put out Fleming, Mallowich, and let's put out Koa. Maybe it's those first two names initially. And we're going to get our heads kicked in, but we're going to have a young core to build around. Because I actually think they've made some good draft picks here recently, and they haven't rushed them along. It's going to be, I'm tired of seeing Mark Williams maybe get injured or maybe do the, just play the kids. Just play the kids. A lot there that I threw at you. Take it apart.
Yeah, I think for Devin Booker, the six man thing won't be for a number of years. I think he's the face of the franchise, and I think that could come into play like later, like what I was talking about earlier, where maybe you've hit on a draft pick who is now your new face of the franchise, and Devin Booker is kind of like, you know, Reggie Miller on those Pacers teams back in the day that went to the finals, like Uncle Reggie. He's a bit older. He's still the face of the franchise, but he's not what he once was. He's not in his heyday anymore. I think as far as throwing the young guys out there, I totally agree with you, and I think it's good to see the Suns prioritizing bringing in youth, athleticism, size, the future, the post Devin Booker guys, while still, you know, not throwing them in the fire, but also making sure they're part of what you're currently building. I know a lot of fans wanted to see more Fleming, including myself last year. Same deal with Mallowatch. I'm hopeful that we see more of them this year, although bringing back Mark Williams obviously hurts with that. Bringing in Miles Bridges hurts with that for Fleming. I'm hopeful we see a more serious role for them, because otherwise I don't see a path to meaningful improvement for this upcoming season compared to last year's team, which is very similar with less shooting and now more expensive on top of that. But I think if you can find a way to implement these guys over the next 1 to 2 years, be patient with their development, you will get to the point in a couple of years, especially as Devin Booker is in his, you know, early mid-30s, where it might be time to hand things over to the next wave of Suns players.
Gerald Bourguet, Suns After Dark. A couple other questions I'll get you out of here. I appreciate your insight following the Miles Bridges trade. Who's the next Michigan State player to come here? The next Michigan State ties to come here? I mean, is there something to this? To me, obviously there is, but it's becoming eye-rolling at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, Draymond Green just opted out of his contract, right? So, I think people who are going to defend this can point to Jordan Ott and the job that he did, can point to Brian Gregory up until this recent trade and the job that he's done in kind of resetting the table, and say that, like, that familiarity with people that you know and people that you've networked with and having kind of insider information into their habits and their work ethic and all of these other things can be helpful. But we're well past the point of like, okay, it's getting a little ridiculous at this point, and especially with this Miles Bridges addition. Look, I know that Matt Ishbia has Tom Izzo's ear. He has insight into all of these Michigan State alumni, but at a certain point, they're just Michigan West, and it's becoming eye-rolling for sure.
Yeah. I think he's got more than his ear. I think he's got his shoes, his pants, wallet, his belt. I'm pretty disappointed actually with where they sit here today, because I don't feel as though we're going to have much of a conversation. Could be dead flat wrong. It's the beauty of this. Could be dead flat wrong. Next year they could make a title run. Everything could be just fall right into place. I just don't see where things are going to change out of a franchise that is just stuck in the middle, which is where you do not want to be. You're just good enough to make the playoffs, and hey, we won a first round playoff game, and maybe the second round we go to six. So then it's next year we're going to get over the top. And then it's, you know, it just feels like that's where we are here in Phoenix with this Suns team. And it sounds to me like you don't like this Bridges deal much.
No, I don't. Off the court or on the court, I'm not a big fan of it. I think you're adding more of the same. I don't think you're meaningfully upgrading your rebounding. He's not historically been a great offensive rebounder, which is what the Suns do. Based on what they did last year, he's not a deflections or steals or blocks guy. He's a dunker. He's a guy who can score. You already have a lot of that with Jalen Green. So unless you have another move lined up, I don't quite get the fit of having your top four guys all be so similar in terms of needing the ball, and only one of them being a plus passer, and all of them being kind of questionable shooters at this point. I don't get the vision of that. I would have much preferred that they had stuck with the kind of run it back route that they were touting all summer and building continuity and giving minutes to Rashear Fleming and Kamon Malawach and seeing if maybe you can be healthier this season, year two under Jordan Ott, year two of largely the same guys. You can build on a 45 win season. It's going to be tougher now that more teams are not going to be tanking with these draft lottery reforms, and the West is going to be more challenging than ever. It would have been hard to build on that season, but I would have much preferred that than kind of the tone deaf route that they have taken with this trade.
Okay. So we're sitting here at the first part of July. A shooter. Can anybody shoot? This is going to be a rim chipping, paint chipping off the rim, glass breaking team from what it looks like right now. What do you anticipate? Because they do, from a business side, have flexibility to go make one more move, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And so what do you see? Because this can't be the finished product when they rock out on training camp at the end of September.
Yeah, I think targeting a shooter is what I'm expecting at this point. You look around the league, I think Gary Trent opted out. I don't know if they'll be able to afford him, because all they really have at their disposal, given their cap situation, is the taxpayer mid-level exception, which is a starting salary of around $6 million. So they can offer a multi-year deal like 12 or 3-year, $18 million, something like that. But it can't go much further beyond that, because then you're worried about the apron. So maybe a Gary Trent Jr. There are a number of names out there, Luke Kennard, who are shooters that have hit free agency. They'll be looking to replace some of Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal shooting, because like I said, they lost a lot of attempts and a lot of efficiency from their three-point attack with those guys leaving and bringing in Bridges. That's kind of what I'm expecting at this point, because they do have 14 players under contract. If they, you know, pick up Jamari Bouye's team option, if they keep Haywood Highsmith, they could have more flexibility if they let one or two of those guys go. But they're running out of roster spots, and they're running out of cap space beneath those aprons, which they're going to be worried about. So not a whole lot of moves coming outside of maybe a trade, like I'm saying, because I do think there's a lot of skill overlap with their starting five now.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm not happy. You sound like you're not thrilled. But hey, fans want to hear everything's great. Everything's going to be awesome and amazing. These are the best. You guys are hating. No, we're not. It's looking at this saying, what the heck? Mm-hmm. WTH. Good stuff that you do over on Suns After Dark. If fans want to find more of your content, where do they go?
Yeah, sure. You can follow me on social media at Gerald Bourget. You can check out my Patreon site at Suns After Dark. And then I do a weekly comment column over at Sports 360 AZ as well.
And occasionally. It's the first time chopping it up with you. It's a lot of fun. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Gerald Bourget. And we're back with more after this time out.